Now, the agenda for today, we will start with a short introduction to Unitaid and Unitaid Explorer. We'll then focus on the oxygen therapy call specifically and explain specifics about this call. And then at the last section, we'll respond to the questions that you have kindly submitted in advance using the webinar registration. So with this, I will give floor now to Janet to do the introduction of Unitaid and Unitaid Explorer. Janet, you have the floor.
Sure. Thank you, Martin. And thank you, everyone, to have dialed in today. My name is Janet Ginnard. I'm the Director of Strategy here at Unitaid. And we want to start this call first by saying thanks for your enthusiasm and for joining today. We're very excited about this call to increase access to oxygen therapy. We wanted to spend a few minutes up front to talk a little bit about Unitaid and Unitaid Explorer for two reasons. One, some of you may be familiar with Unitaid, and we wanted to share with you a few thoughts on how Unitaid Explorer is different. And second, we also realized that some of you may be completely new to Unitaid and have no idea who we are and what we're trying to do. So we thought that for both audiences, it might be helpful not to go into too much depth, but to share a little bit on who we are and what we're trying to do here. So I won't go into, again, as I said, too much detail, but I wanted to call out a few key resources on who Unitaid is, first of all. So I'm on the slide. Unitaid's mission relies on three strategic objectives for those of you who can see the slides. You'll find the strategy on our website. This is a strategy that encompasses the period 2017 to 2021, and you'll see that it hinges on three key pillars: innovation, access, and scalability. Now, that underpins our entire portfolio of grants. We have an active grant portfolio of over $1.3 billion. It's over 45 projects at the moment. So it's a very varied and robust portfolio in which Unitaid tries to, as you can see here, maximize the effectiveness of the global health response, catalyzing equitable access to better health products. But really, it boils down to innovation, access, and scalability. If we go to the next slide, we can talk a little bit about our positioning within the global health response and how that reflects the strategy. You'll see Unitaid here positioned in the center of the slide. And what we know is that there are many, many actors who, from our perspective, are working further upstream, research and development, bringing new products to market, investing in innovation. So this is looking at things like small and medium businesses, big pharma and other industry partners, startups, product development partnerships, foundations, academia, major bilateral efforts that fund research and development and are really responsible for driving new innovation and bringing new tools to the global health response. At the same time, we also have critical partners that, again, relative to us, are downstream, have a larger footprint in countries and the ability to ensure that these tools can reach those who may benefit most from them. So this is partners such as country programs, community actors who are really ensuring that the voice of those affected is heard and registers on the Global Health Development Agenda. Scale-up partners, the Global Fund, PEPFAR, others. Civil society, as I mentioned, communities, but in a broader sense, civil society ensuring that we really understand the needs in the highest burden countries. And between these two worlds, this upstream world of innovation and this broader country program service delivery, we recognize that oftentimes there are barriers to access that may mean that medicines, diagnostics, preventive tools, and others don't reach those who can benefit most, or that the feedback loop of what's needed doesn't necessarily reach those working on innovation. So what we're talking about here are critical issues with innovation availability, quality, affordability, supply and delivery, demand and adoption. So just by way of one example, it might be a tool that's developed but is not adapted for use in high burden settings, or is developed but priced out of reach of those in low-income countries. So those, in a nutshell, those two slides are really intended to explain what we try to do as Unitaid, where we fit in the global health response, and certainly we can point you to additional resources for that. What we're trying to do today, if we go to the next slide, is talking about a new funding mechanism that we're piloting to understand if there's a different way with which we can engage with innovators in bringing new technologies. So the last couple of slides I described our broader strategy, our positioning. Some of that can result in very comprehensive projects to address all access barriers. We recognize that, you know, maybe there could be a complement to how we fund by funding smaller, more targeted projects on a particular topic area. And so this is how we came to Unitaid Explore. So we said this is a pilot. It's our very first call. You'll see in the materials on the website that the tone is a bit different. The amount that we're talking about is a little bit different. The level of detail that we've included in the call is a little bit different. And all of those were deliberate decisions to try to be inclusive and open to new ideas. So there are a few strategic principles that we can share on how this fits in. And so we can go to that on the next slide just to give a sense. Some of this you'll hear reflected in the questions that we'll come to at the very end, but we wanted to say very quickly that here what we're trying to do with this pilot is focus on innovation with transformative potential, address global health needs in low, middle income countries, ensure transparency and fairness in how we run the pilot, ensuring that everyone has the same information and that we're reaching new partners, that we adopt a proportionate response. If we're funding smaller, more targeted proposals, is the level of detail that we're requiring sufficient but also appropriate? And then finally, ensuring complementarity. Now, that last piece is key, ensuring complementarity to the rest of our portfolio. So that's something that we are thinking about quite critically, ensuring that anything that we support through this mechanism complements some of our very important work that we have through our normal portfolio, for example, in fever management, but also that we are complementary and coordinated with others who may be active in this space. A few more points on what we're trying to achieve with the pilot before we get into a little bit more detail on the call. And that's on funding principles. So you'll see also reflected in the materials and the way we'll proceed from here, a slightly different approach, looking at emphasizing performance-based funding, that we're really trying to construct results-based projects that maybe have milestones tied to that funding, and then design and support that's proportional to the amount, the scope, the ambition of a particular project. So again, we'll come to that again at the end when we're talking about the sample terms and conditions as well. But we just wanted to at least give you an overview of Unitaid and where we sit more broadly, where our normal portfolio and strategy is, how this is a little bit different, and then some of the key features that you'll see reflected in this pilot. But at this point, we'll turn over to the call itself. And I'll hand over to Jenna Kriebel, who's going to walk through the content, and then Martin's to speak a little bit on key dates and resources before we close with questions and answers.
Great. Thanks, Janet. So you'll see that we have a small section on the oxygen therapy call itself, increasing access to oxygen therapy. We're not going to go through the entire call text here, but emphasize a few points so that we can get right to the questions that we've received from you, which guides us on how the people who are responding to the call, yourselves and others, are thinking about things and where there's a lack of clarity. But to go through a few of points that we wanted to highlight, all of us are on this call because increasing access to oxygen therapy is vital. This is a key point. The timely access to oxygen therapy can make the difference between life and death when treating patients with moderate to severe disease or other complications. this is a statement that it comes from a very specific world. And one of the items that we're working to do, and the group on this call reflects that, is that there are many ways to address the problem and to solve the problem. Not the problem of getting the actual end, getting the oxygen to the patients. That's pretty specific. But the challenge to think about all of the different aspects that go into access to oxygen therapy, creating oxygen, delivering the oxygen, getting it to the place where it can then be of use to the patient who's suffering from those conditions. So one of the things that we're working on with UNITAID Explore is to challenge you to propose solutions that create transformative improvements in access to oxygen therapy from your perspective, with the understanding that there are many different backgrounds, many different ways within the entire ecosystem of this particular challenge, where people with different perspectives might come up with entirely different solutions and ways to address it. So the point that I wanted to make here was to emphasize how much we stand by our own statements, that we're not looking for you to tell us what you think that we think the answer is, rather to find the solution that you have from your perspective, from your experience, from your background, even if it's very different than the current solutions. So this you'll hear me emphasizing this point a lot, because I think that this is one that's it's a bit of an interesting one, because we are, of course, a lot of you have worked with UNITAID before. We come from a very particular perspective. But this to say again, that your innovation in this case might chart novel paths, but that it should link rationally to the case that you choose. So you may find a different use case within the entire ecosystem of problems and solutions that are around oxygen therapy. Just that within that vast space, your solution should address the particular use case and find a rational way to solve it. So it's not that we can accept or that we will consider any solution. We do think that there's probably the specificity of needing to choose a particular use case and making sure that that your solution specifically addresses that. The next slide gives you some pointers on that, or gives you some guidance for those of you who are not necessarily in the field for specifications and guidances. So if you have a specific use case in mind, these might guide the way that you think about what you need to get your solution to target. That said, I want to emphasize again, leaving this as reference, that this should not constrain your thinking. These documents and these guidances provide a perspective on a particular solution, but that is not the point of us providing this to you. Rather, it's to give you some guidance or some boundaries in your thinking, even as you're thinking from a very different perspective. Hand it over to Martins for some of the details around the logistics, and I think we'll speak again in the moment as we go on to address your questions at the end of the call.
Yeah, thank you, Jenna. I wanted to go quickly through some key dates here, and we have 19th of March and 24th of April. Can we have the next slide, please? and those of you who are already familiar with UNITAID proposal processes will have noticed that for this specific funding opportunity and this funding mechanism, it is different. It has much shorter application timeline, just of 1 month, and the deadline for submission of proposals is 19th of March at midday. The other difference is also that the application form is much shorter and very different. You can download the application form on the call website, the call webpage. The form is the application form is just 10 pages maximum. You are asked not to attach any annexes. When submitting your application, you should do it simply by sending a message with the attached form, which is, by the way, just an unprotected simple Word document, which you can expand, but not beyond 10 pages, please. So sending this application form to the email address unitaidexplorer@who.int. Please note that WHO servers accept messages up to 8 megabytes in size. So if your message is in an unlikely event larger than this, normally this should not be the case with a simple Word document, but if it is larger than 8 megabytes, it risks not going through. Once you submit the application, you will receive an automatic response message, but that is not the confirmation of receipt. So please make sure that you receive confirmation of receipt from us. That will be then a real confirmation from you that we have received your application. In case you have not received confirmation message from UNITAID within 1 working day from your submission of proposal, just send a simple message to UNITAID Explorer email address with a subject line missing confirmation of receipt, and then we will definitely get back to you and we'll sort whatever the problem could be. Can we have the next slide, please? The process is also quite different, that only those proponents that will be selected for the further steps of the review process will be contacted. No response or feedback will be provided to unsuccessful proponents, no matter at what stage they drop out. So selected proponents may be asked to submit additional materials, like, for example, a business plan or your balance sheets, etc., during the review process. And then again, selected proponents may be invited to the pitch day, which will happen on 24th of April. It will be done by teleconference or video conference, and it will be basically a presentation answering the questions and potential discussion with a panel that consists of both the UNITAID secretariat staff and independent experts. So I think with this, we can now go to answering your specific questions that we have received at the registration stage. Jenna, can you walk us through, please?
Absolutely. So what we've done is summarize the questions that we've received from many of you into baskets of themes, because some of the questions are related, and many are very detailed and specific to your particular projects. So we hope that this will be informative for you to answer the questions and guide you in your development of your applications. So the question that we wanted to address first is about the call, whether the call was looking for to fund specifically a device or other solutions. This is one that I pull out as the very first question, because it is unequivocally the device and or other solutions. As I spent time in the presentation discussing, the point of this is to be very broad and to encourage you to think about all of the ways that you can address the entire ecosystem of solutions. There's lots of solutions and there's lots of possibilities for you to provide your solutions. So we encourage you to think about solutions from your perspective, which might be quite distinct and innovative. We can give you a few thoughts, but this in no way should be limiting for you, rather to treat as a spark for ways that you might think about this. You might have a high income country solution that can be adapted to low resource settings. You might have a novel solution that can be geared towards the low resource settings. You might have a novel solution for addressing distribution challenges. This can be physical or digital. We would note that it should be relevant to low resource settings or have a path to be, and it should be suitable for treating children under 5 or have a path to be. If you need help with understanding what that looks like, I refer you to the documents that we mentioned earlier, which have some specifications on how a use case for those specific items could be implemented. All right. Then another question that we had was around multiple questions around what might be acceptable innovations to fund. So again, trying to address multiple of the questions that we received together, but again with this question or the set of questions, we have purposely kept this application, this call, very open and broad. We know, especially in this space, that not all tools will be relevant to every solution or even every place. So we encourage you only, as I mentioned earlier, to make your use case specific and solve against that. That will be a relevant point for us, that your solution is answering to the use case as you've defined it. So make sure to explain, as we have in the very specific question in the application form, what is the use case in a low resource context, who is going to use this, where will it be used, and who will benefit from it. For those of you that are upstream or in unrelated fields, we encourage you to think about the path to this. We don't expect that every applicant will already have on-the-ground experience in these spaces. So there's a question about the funding itself and details about the budget. There were a number of questions of this, and this is something that's worth keeping an eye on for those of you who have worked with UnitAid previously. In this case, the estimates of financing requested should be based on the milestones presented in the application form rather than on an activities-based budget or specific budget categories. The disbursements of funding during the project will be made in accordance with the achievement of the agreed milestones on a pay-for-performance model. This is different than many of the other UnitAid experiences that you may have had. And the description of your milestones, what you hope to accomplish, will be relevant for your application. All right, there's questions about surrounding the market aspects or specific countries, especially that are relevant to these interventions. UnitAid aims to create change for low and middle income countries and recognizes that the greatest benefit of these interventions is in low resource settings. So there should be a clear link between the commercialization plan and the proposed use case for the innovation to see what kind of change can be expected once the solution is introduced in target markets. Again, as I said before, this is looking that you have thought about it and that you have a path to that, not necessarily that you have explicit expertise in this area. But we do want to see that you're thinking about it and thinking about how your solution can be relevant in these contexts. Okay, my next two answers are two questions which provide less new items, but in order to have completeness of the questions that you've asked us, I think it's worth spending the time to answer them. Questions about the number of awards expected to be made under UnitAid, this call under UnitAid Explore. We expect to select one or more projects and commit a total of $500,000 to $2 million. Those of you who have read the text, which I'm sure is most or all of you, will notice that that is exactly the text that we put. And we say that very specifically because we're looking for the right projects. We're exploring the projects that would be that would fit into this category, and we leave it simply in those categorizations. So we're staying with the language and the text on that one. We received other questions about what kind of entities are eligible to apply for UNITAID funding. I think this is specified, but to say it very explicitly, any registered legal entity is eligible to apply, as long as they can comply with the provisions set out in the sample terms and conditions. The sample terms and conditions you see linked to, but essentially the answer to the question, what kind of entity, as long as it's a legal entity, that's the minimum bar. All right, that is the end of the questions that we have received from you.
Matt, and a few.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Okay, so again, thank you, Jenna. Jenna speaking. I just wanted to summarize on a couple of points that I just realized came up in the Q&A, but link back to earlier things that we mentioned in the presentation. So just to summarize on three points. One, you'll see, again, intentionally, that the call text is very open or broad, but we are looking for very targeted, specific solutions articulating a clear use case, as Jenna had mentioned. Is different from a typical UNITAID project, both in scope and ambition. So the scope is tied to the dollar amounts that we're looking for and the ambition in terms of what's achievable with that. We're also different here from the typical UNITAID model or typical UNITAID project in the funding model, in that it's milestone-based with the funding disbursements expected to reflect performance. So you'll see, and I think Jenna had covered that nicely, you'll see that the application form is actually constructed to guide applicants in that sense. So you'll see that the questions are really trying to elicit the information along these lines. The second is, again, just coming back to the question on device or solution, to be very explicit on that point. You'll see again, the call text is intentionally quite open and broad. There is one reference in the call text in which we say the goal is to advance the creation of a device. By that, we mean a device or solution. Again, not limited only to product development, but we would be open to innovation in terms of delivery as well. So again, very targeted specific approaches are welcome, but it's not limited only to the advance the creation of a device. And then finally, we aim to contract very swiftly through this mechanism. And in that regard, we have included a schedule of sample terms and conditions for UNITAID Explore funding agreements. And so I think that is, again, something that came up, but I would just wanted to encourage everyone to have a look at that. There's quite a lot in there that might look a little heavy for the moment, but we hope to be able to start the contracting at a very advanced stage of the conversation. So we see that as an investment of time on our part that we can save time in discussions at a later point in the process. So I just wanted to make sure everyone is aware of that document as well.
Thank you, Janet. Well, another very quick piece of information. The recording of this webinar will be made available on the call webpage very shortly after this webinar. So if you have any colleagues who did not manage to connect to the webinar, they will be able to listen into the recording. Well, with that, I would like to thank you for your participation in the webinar, and we are looking forward to receiving your applications by 19th of March. Thank you very much, and have a very nice day. Goodbye.